much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Where are Grace kids today? Where are you? Where are you? Let's see them. Let's tell them we love them. Woo, there they go, and they've got energy. Who has them? Who has them today? My wife does. Extra prayers for my wife today, so there you go. That is awesome. Very good. Well, good morning. We had a few were not with us last week. We had a great Easter service. Amen. It was awesome. We set some goals. We're not nerdy about setting goals, but you got to aim at something. You know the old adage, if you aim at nothing, you hit it every time. So you want to try to aim at something. And so our goal was to be, you know, somewhere between the 350 and 400 range. And we hit in the middle of that. So praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So it was great. Thank you guys for investing in others and talking to others and bringing others with you. Thank you for that, because it couldn't happen without you, to be sure. Well, let's pray, and then let's look at God's Word for a few minutes. Well, Father, today is your day, and we thank you for that. Lord, we recognize it. And so as we look just for a few minutes at your Word, would you please just speak to our hearts and our minds? Lord, change us where we need to be changed. Encourage us where we need to be encouraged. Lift the burdens that need to be lifted, Lord, and give us guidance and vision. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're a Christian here today, and it doesn't really matter how long you've been a Christian, if it's been just a short period of time or maybe decades, not centuries, but decades, right? You've asked the question, at least at some level, maybe seriously, maybe casually, what does God want me to do? You've asked that. You've cared about that. When you encounter the Lord and the Lord radically changes your life and you really begin to connect with the Lord at a deeper, more profound level, you begin to care about what he cares about. And you begin to care about what you care about less. So you ask the question at some point, what does God want me to do? And that always launches you into a thought process of thinking about the will of God. What is God's will, and what is God's will for me? Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about the will of God, and we're going to be talking about what that means to you, what it can mean to the church, what it can mean to the community, what it can mean as you live your life and go forward. But we all would agree, I think, this morning that at some level, we sit here today sitting in the results of our choices. At some level, we all sit here today and we're in a result of our choices. We made choices about who we're going to marry, who we're not going to marry. Aren't you glad you didn't marry some of the ones in your past? Can I get an amen? Amen. I think back on some of the girls I could have married, and I'm like, oh, man, no way. Thank you, Jesus. Wow, that is awesome. And you know, but you sort of think about relationships on a serious note. You think about relationships. You think, you know, maybe I made some good choices. Maybe I didn't make such good choices. But either way, that sort of built into partly who I am today. You thought about vocation. What vocation did I go into? Did I go down this road to be a career person in this field, or did I go down the road to be a career person in that field? And that has shaped, at least to some level, a little bit of why you sit here and how you sit here today. You think about having kids. You know, do I have one? Do I have five? Do I have 10? Do I sell them all? I mean, what do I do, right? And so you sit here today again sort of as a result of some of those choices. Here's the great news today. If you've never asked deeply the question, what does God want me to do? If that has never really been a deeply asked question in your life, all of those things that have sort of shaped and guided you to this point, God has just a miraculous, huge, massive way of changing that and working it out better as you move forward from this point. I mean, you may be sitting here right now and you're saying, you know what, Terry, I don't think I could ever recover. I think my life is about half over. There's no way I can recover. There's no way I can have the happiness and the joy and the fulfillment that I should have had back in my 30s. There's no way I can get that. Let me just say something to you respectfully. You're wrong. Because God has a way. Joel chapter 2 says God has a way of restoring the years that the locusts have eaten. The years that have been squandered, and the years that have been given away, and the years that have been wrought and riddled by bad decisions, bad choices, unfortunate events, right? God has a way of taking all of that stuff, putting it together, and from this point forward, doing something amazing with your life. So I want to challenge you today for the next few minutes. I'm not going to hold you long, not going to preach long, but But if you would just think with me just for a few minutes about what does God want me to do with my life? What does God want out of me? The first thing we have to decide, we have to agree on, is that God loves you and he's intimately connected with your life. You have to buy that. If you do not believe that God loves you and that he's intimately connected with your life, then you're not going to believe that he cares about what you do. I mean, if you're here today and you sort of believe God created the heavens and the earth, not sure how he did it, but he did it, and now he's on the back 40 taking a nap, and we're just sort of spiraling out of control down here, you're not going to believe or accept the reality that God really cares about you, and he really wants to do something great in your life. So if you will, turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. We have just a few scriptures to look at today. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God is telling us something so important about creation, and I want you to see this. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over everything that creeps upon the earth." And then God created man in his own image, and in his image, God created a male and female. He created them. There is something, I'm not artistic at all, okay? I mean, I can barely draw a stick guy. Somebody with me on that, right? I mean, nobody wanted me in art class and their team, right? Team stuff, they did not want Terry because I couldn't color in the lines. I couldn't draw, really bad at art. But now some of you are really gifted at it. And those of you who are really good at it and really do it because it's something you love to do, if you work a long time on a work of art, you care deeply about it. Doesn't matter if it's a sculpture, a painting, a quilt, all of that's considered art, right? And you do it, and you work at it, and you work at it, and you, there's a connection between you and that piece of art that matters. It's something profound. Again, I can't do it, but I know some of you can. Now I want you to think about this. God created us. That's what the Bible said. He put us together. And he framed us and formed us and put us together. And he was intimately involved in that process. Now, because of his involvement, you know what that carries with it? His love and his interest in our lives. Because he created us, he is interested in us. I mean, he didn't create us to throw us away. I mean, parents, what would this be like? Okay, you know, ladies, you become pregnant, you're so excited, things are going to be great. You go to the hospital, you get through that, you have this wonderful baby, and then right after the baby comes, it's crying. And seemingly cries endlessly for about 2 years. All right, so somewhere in this journey with crying baby, you decide, though you're the parent, you're part of the one who helped frame this little baby, you say in the middle of the process, you know what? I'm done. I'm putting the baby up on eBay and I'm buying a boat. I've got a boat coming and a baby going. That's how we're going to do this thing today. No, you would probably go to jail, one, but you wouldn't do that anyway, right? Because you love your children. You love them. With all the stuff there, why? Because they're part of you. They're part of you. The Bible says that God created us in his image. There is within each of us an imprint of the divine. There's an imprint of God because we're created in his image. So he doesn't imprint us with part of the divine, part of this transcendence. He doesn't imprint us with that and then put us out on the doorstep for somebody to pick up who's wandering by. That's not what God does. Listen, if you're here today and you've ever doubted that God loves you and God cares about you, understand the fact that he was the driver and originator of creation means he loves and cares about you. And if he loves and cares about you, you have a purpose. Now, over in Psalm 139, the Bible says it like this. In Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14, David, the psalmist, says it like this. He says, "For thou didst form my inward parts. You did weave me together in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and my soul knows it very well." David's thinking through the greatness of God. If you read all of Psalm 139, he's talking about the transcendence of God and the omnipotence of God and the power of God. He's talking about all this wonderful stuff. In the middle of this, he says, this wonderful, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving God formed us in our mother's womb. Now, I got to tell you, I would love that God would have made me, you know, taller, more hair, and a little bit less like the Michelin man. Can I get a witness? Right? I mean, I really wish God would have done that for me. But He didn't. He made me sort of short, chubby, and balding. So I blame God for all my problems. God put you together just like you are. And He put you together in such a way that your form is going to determine your function. There's a great debate, has been in biology and philosophy for a long time, about form and function, which comes first and which is the driver. In biology, historically, it was that function, the functionality of an organism drove how it was formed, what it was like. And then some people would say, no, the form, because of how it was put together, would drive the function. Well, now I read an article this past week that they agree that both are important. Hello. Right? That form and function both matter, that how you're put together determines what you do. Think about this for a minute. If you're an architect and you set out to build a beautiful building, do you just tell the guys to show up with the concrete and guys to show up with the rebar and guys show up with the drywall and guys, and then you just start putting it together? No, you got to have a plan. If you're a carpenter and you're adding on to the house, don't you sort of have to have a plan? Sure you do. Now, don't get me wrong. If I went to add on to my house, it would look like I had no plan. Can I get a witness? Right? Because I'm not skilled at that. But it's natural thinking, it's logical thinking, that things that are formed have built within it an ordained function. Over the last month and a half, I've worked for a company here in town called Newco, Judd Neufeld. Some of you know Judd. I've helped Judd out a little bit. I got to travel a lot over the last month and a half. I've been in a lot of machine shops. Now, I've never been in a lot of machine shops before. One thing I realize about these real complicated machines that punch and bend and do different things to metals and different metals and all this other kind of stuff, they were not haphazardly put together. I mean, think about this. The engineers just didn't show up, put it together, and put a red button on it, and somebody walked by, hey, what does your machine do? I don't know. Let's find out. Boom. And push. I mean, that's not how it works. But here's what's interesting in how we look at ourselves and really asking the question, what does God want us to do? We think that that doesn't matter on a personal level. Well, let me share with you 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11, and see how God describes it. Now, it says this, now there are varieties of gifts of the same Spirit, varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works in all persons and in all things. Now look at verse 11. But there is one and the same Spirit who works all these things, distributing to each one individually the gifts, just as He wills. So here's what Paul says about the will of God. You have a form that has a function, and it's not going to be the same for everyone, and God's going to do in you and with you and through you what He chooses to do. So let's just talk about that for a few minutes and we'll be done. If you want to take the first step in really knowing the will of God, really understanding what God wants you to do, then you have to know who you are and how you're put together. Now, there's a guy named Rick Warren. Many of you know Rick Warren. Guy out at Saddleback Church, wrote Purpose Driven Life, Purpose Driven Church, contributed great things to the kingdom of God. Rick Warren said that you have to discover your shape. So let me walk you through what that means. First is your spiritual gifts. Talk a little bit about that. Every one of you and you have a spiritual gift. And God's will for your life isn't apart from your spiritual gifts. It is in concert and connection to your spiritual gifts. So if you're here today and you have no idea what your spiritual gifting may be, then really doing what God wants you to do in a profound, meaningful, impactful way has been limited. And so we're going to help you with that this fall. Discover your spiritual gifts. But there's a lot of spiritual gifts. There's teaching, there's preaching, there's encouraging, there's serving. There's all kinds of spiritual gifts, and they're all equally as important. None more important than the other. Now, their results are different. The effects are different. but they're all equally as important. And then the second thing is your heart, your passion, the things that really drive you, the things that really motivate you, what really gets you up in the morning and drives you out the door. It is going to work. Those passions should line up with your spiritual gifts. There should be a connection here. You have what God's given you, how he's gifted you, and then what you're passionate about. Now, and then the next one is your abilities. And I want to talk about these three things in concert just for a minute. Your abilities, those natural abilities, those things that you're naturally good at. Now, let's just be real clear. There's some people who are really passionate about different things in life, but they're just not gifted for it. They're not shaped for it. For example, I grew up going to a lot of small churches, as many of you did, and there was always one or two people in the church that it was their calling to sing. But what was the problem? They couldn't sing. But it was God's, I mean, they were passionate about singing. Oh, I want to sing. I got a song for the Lord. Well, then go out your car and sing it to him, right? I mean, we don't want to hear it. I mean, you know, but they're just passionate about singing. They want to sing and they feel like singing. And many of us in church, we're sympathetic to that. Oh, that's just Sister Susie. Oh, God, love her. Let her sing. And then Sister Susie gets up to sing, and you're a visitor there, and you decide, I'm never coming back. I mean, it's horrible. Now, this is somebody who really wants to sing, really feels called to sing, but there's only one problem. They don't have either it's a spiritual gift, you consider singing a spiritual gift, or the ability to sing. I would say that if you can't carry a tune, look, I don't do it. I don't sing, and I'm going to tell you why I don't sing. I was blessed to have a mama that loved me unconditionally, but was honest about my life. Did y'all have a mama like that? How many of you guys had a mama who loved you no matter but was going to be honest with you? Well, back in the day, we had evangelists that would come through, back in the evangelist, and they would come through. And there was this one guy named Bill Stafford. He was from Chattanooga, Tennessee, wonderful preacher, hilarious guy, and had a beautiful singing voice. I mean, he had the whole package. He was just good. And he would get up there and start preaching. Man, he'd be going at it. And right in the middle of a sermon, he would bust out singing. I mean, he would bust out singing. Oh, people would be in tears. It was moving. It was really wonderful. So I remember God was sort of dealing with a call in my life to do something. I wasn't sure what it was going to be. And I had an opportunity to preach up in Detroit. And I told my mom, we were talking. I said, Mom, I'm going to do it. I'm going to pull a Bill Stafford. She said, what do you mean? Said, I got this sermon, there's a song that fits in the middle, and I'm going to break out and sing. And she looked at me, I mean, no joke, she looked at me and said, don't do it. She said, don't do it. She said, don't do it. I love you, and I will support you, but don't do it. I said, but Mom, I feel it would be so great. She said, it won't be great. It's not going to be great. Don't do it. And she was right. Because I'm there's always one in the crowd. Always one. But I can't match pitch. So I can't sing. So I don't try. It is not God's will for me to sing. Elders, would you take care of him, please? I've got all three of my, oh, well, I'm missing one elder, but I have two of them here. Take care of him. On a serious note, now, some of you really have a lot of passions and drives about what you want to do with your life. If it's God's will for you to do it, then your ability will line up with your passion. If it doesn't, it's not that God hates you, God doesn't love you, it's not that God gave you second best, it's not that God shortchanged you, it's not that God somehow regulated you to insignificance in the kingdom, it's none of that. It's just God has something different for you to do. Not everybody who can teach can preach, can be a pastor. Look, I get it. There's a lot of guys who are way better teachers than me, way better. But pastoring's a different calling. It's not just about standing up here. There's other dimensions to it. So not everybody does that. Some of you have desire, some of you have desire to go to medical school. And I know I live with someone who's really driven to go to medical school, and I think he can do it. But, you know, I went to school with a guy named Jim MacArthur, great friend, wanted to go to medical school. He had two problems, organic chemistry and biochemistry. He couldn't pass them. Now, I don't care how much you want to go to medical school. If you cannot pass those two classes, you're not going. So you can talk about dreams, visions, want-tos, blah, blah. If God hasn't given you a brain to understand those two subjects and master them, you don't get to go. And that's not being ugly. Because what God shaped you to do is better than that. That is a fact. It is better than that. You will be more successful at what God's put you together to do than what you're trying to do that you're not put together to do. Look, I was a chemistry nursing double major for 3 years and went through a year of clinicals. And I discovered something really quick about clinicals. I don't like blood. I don't like sticking people with needles. All right? I don't like all the sights, sounds, and odors of a hospital. And so I had to have a real come to Jesus meeting with myself. God didn't put me together to do that. No, I thought the academics were pretty fun, but you can't be a nurse in the books. One day you got to walk down the hall and be with a patient. I argued that point, by the way. All right, you have to. So I wasn't put together for it. If you really want to know what God wants you to do, you got to know how He's put you together. So you got to know your spiritual gifts. We're going to help you with that. You got to know your passions, what really drives you, what excites you, what pushes you. Then you have to be honest about your abilities. Not what you want them to be, but what they really are. I mean, I've known some people who said, I'm going to be an engineer. They can't pass Calculus 1. Hello, you're not going to be an engineer. Because you got three more to go. You know? And again, it's not a downer. Let me just say, in the 80s, in the 90s, I'm a child of the 80s. I graduated high school in 81, so I grew up in the late 70s and 80s. There was this movement that said you can do anything you want to. If you want to do it, you can do it. Can I say something to you? That's not true. That's just not true. I can't dunk. I really want to dunk. I want to go out and play ball with my son, and I want to rock one on his head. And I can't do it. Because I'm fat and I can't jump. So, I can't do it. I really want to, but I can't. Here's the deal. You got to be honest with your abilities. Not what you want them to be, but you can't. Now, I'm not talking about growth and advancement and getting better. That's a whole nother. Y'all know how I feel about that. We could all get better. But you're going to get better typically within the context of how you're shaped. How you're put together. Be the best person God made you to be. Not the best person He made someone else to be. That He made you to be. So you have your spiritual gifts. You have your heart, your passions. You have your abilities. Then you have your personality. You have your personality. God gave you your personality. Aren't you glad He didn't give you somebody else's? Can I get an amen on that? Right. God gave you your personality. Now look. I know guys, and when I was in seminary, who just weren't real nice. I mean, they loved the Bible, but they didn't really like people. And so I often wondered, you know, how are you going to translate that out into a church? You might probably be really good teaching, but nobody's going to want to be around you. So if you don't really love people, I recommend you not going into ministry. Because it's all about people. I mean, if you're grumpy in the morning, don't volunteer to be on our greeter team. If that's your personality in the morning, if you wake up thinking God should never make, you know, 10 o'clock should only come once a day, and that's at night, right? If that's you, don't be a greeter. That's your personality. If your personality is a movement type personality, and a hyper type personality, don't be an accountant. God's probably not calling you to be an accountant. I mean, without Ritalin or something, you know? I mean, that is just true. Your abilities, your personality matters. And then your experiences. Your experiences matter. Rick Warren says it like this. You've gone through what you've been through to help others get through what they're going through. Some of you have gone through some things, profound things, impactful things, that you can use to minister to others. There's some things I can't help with. I mean, I can listen and pray with you, but I'm not great at it. Let's just talk about some of them, okay? And we're just, this is judgment-free, right? We're grace. So none of this is about judgment. These are just examples, okay? Let's talk about divorce. I've never been through a divorce. Renee's never been through a divorce. So when people come to us and they're working through a divorce, we listen, we love them, we care about them, we cry with them. But we're not as much help as someone who's been through a divorce. If someone has been through a divorce, they are going to carry some life experience that's profound that I don't have. And so you see, that's where God has shaped you, allowed your experiences, and now you're able to help others that maybe I can't help. Now, you want to talk about losing your parents? I can talk about that. Lost my mom, I lost my dad. You lose your parents, and I was very, very close to my mother. You want to talk about losing your mother who you're very close to? I can talk to you about that. I have that experience. Wish I didn't have that experience, but I do. And I can talk to you about that because I've cried those tears and traveled that road. And so it matters. Some of you have had children who have wandered away from the family values and family goals and objectives, and they've sort of wandered away, and they're out there wandering, and I don't have that experience yet, and I pray I never do, but so far so good. But you know what? There are people struggling that you can speak to, that you can help, that you can talk to. There's some of you in here today, some of you are parents, you have kids who are addicts, who are hooked to opioids or heroin or cocaine. We have a support group, Naranon. There she is. Donna's back there. Talk to Donna afterwards. We have a support group that will help you. Donna leads a group of people who are in that same boat. So they get to minister you based on what they've journeyed through. See, what does God want me to do is a broad question. But there's a way to come up with some really good answers. Now, finally, I'll say this to you. I was an artillery officer. Some of you know that when I was in the Army and shot big guns. And I learned back then we had rockets and missiles. We had both. They're changing a lot of stuff up now. But there's one primary difference between a rocket and a missile. So let me just talk to you for a minute about that. A rocket is what we call a trajectory fire weapon. That's what that means is you set a coordinates, you set an angle, if you will. There's a lot more to it than that. And then you shoot it, and based upon its charge, the juice in the rocket determines how far it will go, and then the angle determines where it lands, where it hits. Now, a rocket is subject to be thrown off course by a number of things. Weather anomalies can throw it off, change in temperature, change in barometric pressure. I won't go into all the details, but anyways, all that stuff can affect the flight path of the rocket, and it can miss its mark. It doesn't have a way to self-correct. Now, a missile, on the other hand, is different. A missile has inside of it what's called an internal guidance system. Now, that internal guidance system might be geared for a couple of different things. It could be geared to heat, to motion, different things now that or laser. It tracks with a laser. It can track on different things. But it has an internal guidance system. So as when you shoot the missile or and it's flying, and it gets knocked off course, it can self-correct. And it didn't hit the target, right? If you're a believer today, God's put within you the person of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, when asking the question, what does God want me to do, will act as that internal guidance system for you. You're not just shot out into the world and subject to land where you land. But the Holy Spirit acts as the internal guidance system, who, when you get off base, will pull you back on course. When you get a little this way, it'll pull you back. When you're getting ready to land a little short, it'll get you to go a little further. The Holy Spirit will act as that internal guidance system that will help you land where you should. So the question for the day, what does God want me to do? He wants you first to know that He loves you. He made you. He loves you. Doesn't matter what you did last night or what you're doing this afternoon. He loves you. Just bottom line, end of story. He loves you. Second, he puts you together in a particular form to do a particular purpose, to have a particular function. And then third, it behooves you to spend some time thinking about how he's wired you and shaped you and put you together for this season of your life. And never forget, when the road's rough and the wind's blowing, life's throwing at you everything it can, because it will throw at you all it can. And it will not be fair. It will not be just. It will not be fun. It will be bad. It will be horrible. Listen, you will cry many a tears. You will doubt your very faith. You'll doubt the purpose of your existence. All of those things will come your way. This is life. It comes your way. But here's what will happen. That internal guidance system, the person of the Holy Spirit, will lead you to the designed end that God has for you. Listen, God loves you. He's got a plan for you. He's got a purpose for you, even at this station in your journey. And it is profound. I promise you that it is. Amen? Amen. Pray with me. The first step today, for some, will be to know Christ personally. There's really no greater decision, no greater issue in life than to know Jesus Christ personally. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord, but God's convicting you, he's calling you, he's awakening faith within you, I'm going to ask you to just, in your heart and in your mind, repeat this prayer after me. Just pray, Lord, it's me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for giving me the chance to pray. Lord, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you resurrected from the grave on the third day. And right now, to the best of my ability, according to the faith that I have, I place it in you alone for salvation. And I ask you to forgive me of my sins and to be my Savior. Thank you for hearing my prayer. If you prayed that today or meant it for the first time today, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand. One, two, three. Slide it up wherever you are. Slide it up so I can see it. Anybody? Okay? Second, believer, how many of you would say today that you're seriously going to ask the question, what does God want me to do? You're seriously going to begin to ask that question. I'm going to ask the question, God, what do you want me to do? With my vocation, with my relationships, with my church ministry area, with what I do socially and privately. God, I'm really going to ask the question, what do you want me to do? If you're willing to do that this week, I want to see your hand. Just lift it up right now. I'm going to really ask the question, God, what do you want me to do? Thank you. Thank you. All over the room. Thank you. And then finally, I just really feel like I need to speak to, there's somebody here today that they've been hurt by the church. They've been hurt by Christians. And asking the question, God, what do you want me to do? You're not even there yet. You're at the point where you're just wondering if God even cares, because the people that should have cared haven't cared for you. So if you're here today and you've been hurt by the church, or you've been hurt by other believers, I want to give you a chance right there where you are to just pray and ask the Lord to help you let that go. Because I promise you, you'll never get where God wants you to be holding on to bitterness and anger and resentment. Those are deal killers. They do not advance you in the spiritual life. They just don't. So I wonder if you just take a minute and just ask the Lord to help you let go of that right now. Well, Father, thank you for our time together this morning. Lord, thank you for your word, because it is truth. And thank you, Father, that you love each and every person in this room. You have formed them in a way to accomplish something profound. Lord, it might not be profound in the world's eyes and by the world's definition of profound, but Lord, it will be profound as you measure it, and that's all that counts. So Lord, help us to answer the question, what do you, Lord, want us to do? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, Ryan, come on up. Got a couple of announcements for you. Ushers, yep. Ushers, come on up. Where are the ushers? Ushers, ushers, ushers. Ushers are coming forward. Guys, let me remind you, as the plate is being passed, don't forget to give us your card. And on the back, please give us your prayer request. Please, 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 please give us your prayer request. We would love to pray for you. We just need to know how to. And this is how we know how to do that. So please do that. If you're not able to get this in the plate as it's being passed, you could put it in one of the boxes by the doors, or even your offering. If you're not able to get your offering ready right now, you can put it in one of the boxes by the doors as you leave. We give here at Grace for two reasons. Because Jesus is Lord, and the gospel is the most important message in the world. That's why we give. So let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for the privilege of giving. Ask, Lord, that you bless all those who give. Those who can't, Lord, bless them this week so they can. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ryan.
Amen. A couple of quick things. Students, if you're going with us to help out at Hitchcock's, we're going to leave straight from here and head to Hitchcock's to be baggers for today. That is a fundraiser for camp. We'll also be doing that this coming Friday afternoon from like 4:30 till about 6:30, 7 o'clock, somewhere around there. This coming Friday as well. So if you're planning on going with us, please make sure that you get one of our all-in shirts. You can see the students wearing them. They're for sale in the back. $10 a shirt. Some of you are going, I really like that blue. I don't like the gray. The blue is for our youth workers, and the gray is for students. So we want you guys to be a part of that. Parents, if you want to get one, that's great. We'd love to help you in that as well. Just as this, I'm all in, are you? Because we're all in student ministries. It's all in or nothing with Jesus. So that's what we're trying to get our kids to do. So we've only got about 15 spots left for camp. The $50 registration was already due. Second payment was already due. Third payment is coming up this coming Sunday. Please make sure that you're on track for that. If you need to know what your balance is, you can contact me. You can contact Miss Judy. She can get that for you as well. We're working off of a great spreadsheet and doing some awesome stuff. You can just put your payments in an envelope marked with your student's name and camp and put that in the offering box or the offering plate, and we'll have a record of that. Okay? Awesome. I think that's it, Brother Terry. That's it.
Just remind Denise, anything? Thank you, thank you. Kenny. Okay. Kenny, thank you for that. Anybody else have something before we go? Yes. Life group tonight. Yep. Those of you in my life group, if you've not seen my wife, please see her. She'll tell you what we're doing tonight. So please see her. We'll be at our place. Anything else? Stay with me if you will. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And then we will just tell you we love you and God bless you. Let's pray together. Lord, these are sheep of your fold, your people. Each one is an object of your love and of your grace. So, Holy Spirit, we pray now you will attend closer to them this week. Father, be with each person here. Give them guidance and peace. Give them strength. Lord, give them wisdom to know how to navigate life. And, Father, I pray that your kindness will be extended to each person here and each family. Father, bring us back next week to continue to grow together and learn to love you better. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.